end up calling him Barney. I says, no, we won't let that. But they said no. And then I also asked to name one of my sons the middle name Green for green peas. And she said no to that, too. Can you believe that? I don't know why, but no green peas. I keep on telling my sons, if they have a son, to call the middle name Green. And I don't think their wives will probably allow them to do that either. So Acts chapter number 4 tonight, we're going to look at this idea of being an encourager. It's not going to be, as we're doing on Sunday morning, sticking with one passage. We're going to actually look at the story of Barnabas throughout the book of Acts. And as we get to those different passages of scriptures, we'll briefly mention him. And it's just such an important topic, such an important message for the day and time we live in. You know, unfortunately, one thing that many people are missing today is being people of encouragement. There are so few people out there that try to encourage one another. Now, don't get me wrong. There is plenty of mean-spirited. There is plenty of hateful people out there. There is plenty of people that are interested in tearing people down. But I don't think that's the way a Christian's supposed to be. A Christian talks about being kind, talks about being tender-hearted, and talks about if you see how Christ did things, and if we want to be like Christ, how he was probably one of the greatest encouragers in all the Bible. And we're going to see that towards the end. But tonight I want to look at the story of Barnabas, look at this character, kind of walk you through the different passages of Scripture that he is mentioned in, and show you some different ways that you can be an encouragement. There's, in the day and time we live in, there's many people who are self-centered, who are opinionated and can be rude at times. They just do not like dealing with others. But when we talk about being Christians and talking about being in the house of God, you know what? We should not act like that. There is something we need, something we all need, and that is encouragement. Human nature is so quick to tear down others so they can build themselves up. That's not what we have in this story about this man Barnabas. And as we look at this, I think it's something we can all learn at and see the importance of being an encouragement. I tell you, there is so many people that are encouragement to me here at Faith Baptist Church. So many people that say encouraging words and so many people that keep you rallying on. If you look at the screen that's back there, it says, we therefore all to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Say, what we're trying to do as believers is trying to be a fellow helper. We're working together to bring people to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then we're trying to bring them and help them grow on that relationship that they have. And we're supposed to be working together to help bring people to church, help bring people to the truth. But you know what? Many times churches are not known for being friendly, known for being kind. Instead, they're known for being mean. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes people are just have a hateful type attitude, and they don't like new people, or they don't like people from different areas, or maybe look a little bit different. That's not the way church is supposed to be. And when we look at this story here of Barnabas, we're going to see how he reached out and how he was an encouragement. The first thing I want you to see is, to be an encourager, we need to let God use us to help meet the needs of others. Let God use you or us to help meet the needs of others. You look here in Acts chapter number 4, look at the end of verses 36 and 37. But Hoses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. Now, this word here, consolation, comes from the same Greek word that they use for the Holy Spirit when it's using the word comforter, a person that's going to encourage them, a person who is going to help them to become a fellow helper to the truth. Let's look a little bit more about him. A Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so I want us to help you understand that one of the greatest ways we can be an encourager to someone else is by helping people in a time of need. And I know what some of the first thought that goes to some people's mind, he's talking about money. Well, I don't have a lot of money. It's not always involving with money. Barnabas has some land. Barnabas here has a property. And why is he giving this to the apostles? Well, if you look up there in verse number 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. They had the same mindset. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which possessed was his own. They were saying, look, this is not mine, this is God's. But they had all things common. And with, now, once again, this was not a requirement. We went all over that this Sunday morning in the message, and we're not going to go over it again. But I want you to see why they gave. And great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, here's the next thing. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things which they were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Here's what I'm getting at. If we really, truly want to be an encourager, we need to try to help people that are in need. One C.S. Lewis put it this way: sick people don't need money, they need a word of concern. Lonely people don't need money, they need just a few minutes of your time. Hurting people don't need money, they just need a touch on the shoulder. Discouraged people don't need money, they need a sentence of hope. It's not about the money, but it's about God using you to help meet someone else's needs. Barnabas, in this time, in this place, he was from Cyprus. He wasn't from this area. He was a believer. He became a Christian. We don't know when he became a Christian. Maybe it was when they preached at Pentecost. But there was thousands upon thousands added to the church. And remember, there was much persecution against this church. Remember that if you became a Christian, sometimes you'd be thrown out of your house. You many times would lose your job. And there's many people that are in poverty at this moment in time inside this church. Many times the people would come from long distances. They got saved on the day of Pentecost. They wanted to stay. They wanted to learn. They had no way of providing for themselves. Barnabas sees this need and he says, look, this is not my land anyway. This is God's. And if God wants me to give this land to help meet this need, that's a way of encouragement. I know what you're saying. Pastor, why should I do that? Well, if God leads it into your heart, believe me, it is a great encouragement when God uses you to meet a need for someone else. I know in my own life, there's been times when there was a need in my heart and a need in my life, and I did not want to tell anybody about it, and only took it to God, and God took that and met that need number of times. Even in this past year, God has taken and met that need. I've told you before, probably in Sunday school class, that this past year when our air conditioning unit went out at the house, and that's not cheap to buy an air conditioning unit. I know it's the church's property. The church was going to take care of it, but when you spend $4,000 to $5,000 on something and you're the pastor of the church, it's kind of heavy on your heart. And then, you know, it was the week of Kids Crusade, and I had a really rough day. I had a bad phone call, and later on, this person who was not even a member of a church, used to be a member of a church, but comes in and says, the Lord told me to give this to you. And it wasn't to me, to the church. And it was a $6,000 check. You know, and that was just answering God's prayer. I'm saying, Lord, how are we going to take care of this air conditioning unit? How are we going to take care of this problems? And you know what? That encourages me. Number one is that God's still in control and that God can use individual. And be honest with you, when I saw this person walking the door, I was like, oh, great. How much worse can my day get? What in the world does that person want? Because I've had dealings before in the past, and I was like, come on. And then, you know, God told me to give this to you. I'm thinking, oh, great, she's going to sue us or something. And it was great. And I just want you to understand that that was a source of encouragement. And there's been times in my life where these people came and been an encouragement to me, and they'll never even know how much. And I've been that person that's been an encouragement to someone else too. I've had lots of people say, look, you were there when it were needed and was an encouragement. And there are so many ways that we can come along and be a fellow helper to the truth. We have to be willing to let God do that in our lives. Barnabas had to be willing to sell this land. Barnabas had to see the need and say, you know what? There's no strings attached here. He didn't give to get back. He didn't have an agenda. He gave because Jesus Christ changed his life. And he, with a heart of overflowing with praise and gratefulness to God, he wanted to give it to bless others. When you give to people in need, you become a great encourager. Be generous. Be generous with what God's given you, whether it's time, whether it's treasure, whether it's talent. Remember what the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Barnabas' treasure was in that church with the people of God. He loved the Lord. The Lord spoke to his heart, and God used him to meet the need of someone else. And I tell you, that is such a blessing. I've been on the receiving end. I've been the one that's been giving. And I tell you, it is a huge blessing, and we can't get past that. If you really, truly want to be an encouragement, you have to give of yourself. Next thing I want you to think about, and I have a couple little illustrations here I want to read anyways. It says, John Bunyan said, "A man there was, and they called him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. A farmer was known," this is a different illustration, "a farmer was known for his generous giving, but his friends could not understand how he could give so much away and yet remain so prosperous. One day, a spokesman for his friend said, 'We can't understand you. You give far more than the rest of us, and yet you always seem to have more to give.' The farmer says, 'Oh, that is easy to explain.' He says, 'I keep shoveling into God's bin, and God keeps shoveling into my bin, but God has a bigger shovel than I do.'" So it's the idea that God, you're not going to outgive God. C.S. Lewis also said, "I'm afraid biblical charity is more than merely giving away what we can afford to do without anyway." You know, I don't know if Barnabas was a wealthy person or not. I do know that if you look through the story of Barnabas here, he was someone who gave his life for this cause and for this work. He was one of the first missionaries that went out with, remember, it was Barnabas and Saul that was sent out from the church. He was the one that had traveled, and then he went on a missionary journey with John Mark. He was someone who gave of himself. So first way to be an encourager is to let God use you to help meet the needs of others. There's no greater feeling than helping meeting the needs of others. What does the Bible say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's right. Next thing I want you to think about is how to be an encourager. Let God use you to reach out to others. Take your Bible to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, you have a story about Saul. He has been saved at Damascus, and he has preached and teached the word of God in Damascus. He made the religious leaders so mad that they had to send him out over a wall at night in a basket. But Saul comes to visit Jerusalem, and while he's there in Jerusalem, the disciples were afraid of him. They thought that maybe Saul was a murderer, who was taking disciples, putting him in jail, seeing them put to death, like we see in the story of Stephen. And when he comes to Jerusalem, he says, "Hey, look, I'm saved. I'm right with God. I want to join your church." And many times they met in secret locations. "Let me know where it's going to be at." They wouldn't have anything to do with him. They says, no, "I don't trust you. I'm afraid of you. You're different. Your past shows that we don't want to have anything to do with you." Let's look what happens in Acts chapter number 9, verses 26 through 28. The word of God says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas," if we want to be an encourager, we must be willing to reach out to those that are looking from the outside in. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem." You say, "Pastor, what are you getting at?" If you want to be an encourager, we need not just to be an encouragement to those people that are around us that we know, those people that we've known for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, those kids who we just really adore. We need to see those people that are coming into our church and that might feel a little bit uncomfortable, might be out at arm's reach and say, "I don't know if I can go to that church. I don't know if I can see these things. I don't know." We need to be willing to take somebody, and we need to be willing to reach out to them and say, "Hey, look, our church loves people. Our church loves the Bible. Our church loves God. You need to come here. You need to worship. You need to be a part of what we're trying to do here." It's amazing. When I've been as assistant pastor, I have much more time to knock on doors, and I still get the chance. I still enjoy doing it. But as I was going through knocking on the doors, you would not believe some of the things that people said about Faith Baptist Church over the years. I heard that they couldn't go to that church because they were from a different color, because they were black. And I says, "Why in the world would I ask you to church if if you're not allowed here. And then I've heard people say, you can't come to church unless you dress a certain way. I said, no one is going to ask you to leave. No one's going to think anything of you. We just ask that you be modest in your dress. And it's one excuse after another excuse, people looking out who might consider coming to our church, but they need someone who's going to reach out to them and say, hey, look, come. Be a part. And that's what he does. Paul is out here. The apostles want nothing to do with him. And Barnabas goes to Paul or Saul and says, hey, look, come be a part. Imagine what happens here. He writes how many books of the Bible? He's one of the greatest preachers of the first century church. And he's one of the first missionaries sent out. Why is that? Because Barnabas went alongside and encouraged him and says, hey, look, come get involved. Be a part. We need to be encouragers like that. We need to reach out to others that maybe other people would not have an interest in reaching out to. Next thing I want you to think about is let God use you to help disciple others. It's not just about reaching out and say, okay, good, they're here. I never have to talk to them again. That is not very encouraging. That is not encouraging at all. And church is supposed to be a place where people feel welcome. People are brought into the fellowships of the church. They need to realize that they are people who are accepted and that they love the Lord, and we want to work together with it. Now, obviously, we're not going to condone sin. We're not going to put up with sin. We're not going to glorify sin. But if there's people who are interested in coming and being a part of a church that loves the Lord, we are not supposed to try to run them off. We're supposed to encourage them with this. We do how much to try to reach out to our community, try to bring people in. I don't want to hear of anybody trying to push somebody away. That's not what church is intended to do. Next thing I want you to think about, let God use you to help disciple others. Take your Bibles to Acts chapter number 11. In Acts chapter number 11, you have the story of the church of Antioch. Now, there's a couple of different Antiochs in the Bible. But here in Antioch, there's a great revival going on. Acts chapter number 11, verse number 19, the Bible says, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number, believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So there's a great revival that happens. Many people are saved, and they send out Barnabas to try to be an encouragement, but also to see what was going on. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. He wasn't disappointed that Gentiles were being saved. He was glad. And it says, and exhorted. What does that mean? He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. You keep on going in the story. He says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And once again, you see him as a soul winner. Now, you see there's a great revival going on, and he's going to be there helping. But in verse 25, something happens. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, here what it's saying is that we don't know where Paul was. It sounds like that Paul... it was Saul back then. It was Saul went back home. He spent time in Jerusalem. He was introduced to these other disciples. We don't know if he's discouraged. We don't know if he's preaching and teaching there. He kind of gets the idea he's not serving the Lord there. And he goes up, and Barnabas sees all this great work, and what comes to his mind? This is a great place for Saul to come and serve. In Jerusalem, the people were still a little bit afraid of Saul. In Jerusalem, people were, in a sense, against Saul. Maybe didn't give him the opportunities, but Barnabas, wanting to disciple Saul, wanting to see Saul grow, knowing that God's hand was placed upon Saul, he introduced him to the disciples in Jerusalem, but he goes to where he's at and brings him to Antioch, and for a whole year, they serve together. See, it's not just about reaching out. It's about also helping to teach people more about Christ. He brought Saul to Antioch, and together they taught in the church for a whole year. Barnabas was a guy who looked for opportunities to disciple others. And if we really truly want to be an encouragement, seize every moment we can, seize every opportunity we can to influence others for Christ. Doors are open everywhere around us to be able to be an encouragement to others. Take advantage of those opportunities. I don't know about you, but you look over the years, and as I get older and older, I look back over my years, and I look back over my childhood, and I think about the friends I had, and I think about the influences I had. The people that mean most to me now are not the people that maybe I goofed around with or the people I was so worried about impressing. Now, it was the people who took their time to invest into my life and teach me the Word of God, to teach me the Bible. They'd made the lasting impact on my life. They're the ones that were encouragers. I had men in my life that would come up to me and say, "How's your walk with the Lord?" And "What did you read in your Bible today?" And people that would, I guess, encourage me as a Sunday school student. And, you know, once again, my dad did not go to church back then, and I did not have that from a male figure. And you know what? I had that at that church. They were encouragement to me. I know I might have kind of snickered or snide or made up some different answers. It probably sounded pretty stupid. But those men encouraged me in my walk with the Lord. And I want to encourage you, if you really want to be an encouragement to someone else, let God help you meet somebody else's need. Let God use you to reach out when no one else wants to have anything to do with someone who's new or different. Reach out to them. Believe me, that will be an encouragement. And then let God use you to help disciple someone else. If you think about it, in your life, if you are growing in your Christian life, you're going to be encouraged by who? That person that's helping you grow. That person that you're learning from, that person that is spending maybe one-on-one time, or that person that you're kind of connected with, a brotherly or sisterly bond that you're growing together and encouraging, iron sharpening iron, all those things. You say, "Well, I don't have that." Well, then you need to invest in somebody who maybe doesn't know as much as you do, and you become that for someone else, and ask God to bring that other person into your life. It's a way of encouragement. Another thing I want you to see here is let God use you to rescue the rebuked. Take your Bible to Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15, you have a story here about John Mark. Now, in this story of John Mark, you have Paul and Barnabas. I know it was Saul and Barnabas and Saul to begin with. They go out on their first missionary journey. They invite who is known as Mark or John, whatever you call him. He's the guy who penned the Gospel of Mark. They invite John Mark to come with them. Well, it looks like John Mark goes out there with them. They go to their first location. They travel for a while. God uses them, but they face some persecution. And after they leave this Pisidia area, John Mark goes back home. Obviously, this discourages Paul. When somebody quits and when someone gives up, it is something that can be a form of discouragement. Well, Saul and Barnabas have a successful missionary journey. And you see it goes from being Saul and Barnabas to Paul and Barnabas. It used to be Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas was always the main speaker. Barnabas was always the lead. Barnabas was the one that kind of did all the stuff. But as the first missionary journey began and continued towards the beginning, you see Paul take the lead. You know what? Barnabas does not mind that. To be an encourager, sometimes it means you have to take the back seat in order for someone else to get the God to use somebody else. Sometimes you got to sit back, and Barnabas did not mind that. And you see here that they're getting ready to go on their second journey. Look what it says in verse 36 in chapter number 15. The Bible says, "And some days after Paul said to Barnabas," so this is after their first missionary journey, they have began a number of churches. God used them in a mighty way. They've even helped the church of Jerusalem at a certain convention or a certain meeting they had. He said, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they do." So they were going back to visit the churches that they started. They were not just leaving them hanging out to dry. They were going to try to help them. Verse 37, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark." So Barnabas says, "Okay, that sounds good. Let's go. Let's take John Mark again." Well, Paul doesn't have an interest in this and says, But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departing from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And so there's contention here. And it says, "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus." Now, some people will say, well, Paul was right and Barnabas wrong. And some people say Barnabas was right and Paul was wrong. That doesn't really matter. I think what matters, you see the word of God now going out instead of just with one couple. You see two different groups going out in the spreading of the gospel. But the encouragement I want you to see here is from Barnabas to John Mark. John Mark had done wrong. John Mark had quit. John Mark maybe was younger and he couldn't handle it. And he went running home to his mama, is what some of the commentaries would say. And he just couldn't put up with it. And now Barnabas sees him growing. Barnabas still wants to help that man. He wants to help disciple him. He wants to encourage him. He wants to go along and say, hey, John Mark, I see that there's use in you. I see there's a purpose in you. I know that you've been rebuked. I know that you've been ashamed. I know that you've done wrong. I know that you've gone off. You should have stayed with us. You should have continued. But look, there's still hope for you. And that's what an encourager will do. There is no doubt that if believers would pattern their lives after Barnabas, there would be many more people that are restored in the ministry today. And you see at the end of his life, Paul even writes in 2 Timothy, one of the last things he writes, he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. We see that John Mark gets it figured out and John Mark becomes profitable. John Mark is used by God. He's used by God to help write and pen one of the Gospels. And you say, what's the big deal? I wonder if that would have happened if there was not a Barnabas that would have came alongside and says, I know nobody else wants to work with you. I know no one else maybe wants to sit with you, or no one else wants to have a Bible study with you. No one else wants to make you my visitation partner. Nobody else wants to serve with you because of what you did before in the past. But I see there's potential in you. I don't see the problem as much as I see the potential, what God can do with you. And then he brings him along. That's what an encourager does. That's what an encourager will come alongside. They'll see the needs of others, and then they will at great lengths and at great many times costs help meet that need. Boy, if God uses you that way, it is an encouragement not only to the person but also to you. I also think that you can see how God uses people to reach out to others. When people come to our church, we shouldn't be sitting there and picking at their little things that we do not like about them, or picking at the little things that we would consider warts, and they say, well, they can't. No. We should reach out to others and say, this is church. God loved the world. He sent his son to die for the entire world. I'm going to reach out to them and try to make sure they're saved. And then I'm going to try to be an encouragement in helping disciple them. I'm not going to try to run people off. I'm going to try to keep people. I'm going to try to reach out. I'm going to take risk. I'm going to reach out to the people that God would want me to reach out, the people that God died for. But that also includes a whole other group. That includes a group of people that are Christians and that are believers that are sitting on the sidelines. They need someone to come alongside of them and says, hey, look, I know that you're away from the Lord, or I know that you're out of church. I know that you've had to struggle before in the past, and I know everybody knows about it, and I know you might feel a little bit uncomfortable, but you know what? God wants you to be here, and I'm willing to come alongside, and I'm willing to try to help you. That's what encouragement does. I preached a lesson, I don't know how long ago it was, about Barnabas in Sunday school class. We were going through character studies in the Bible, and I chose Barnabas as one of them. And I asked this last question, and it says, what would your nickname be? Because his name wasn't Barnabas. They actually nicknamed him the Son of Consolation. They actually nicknamed him the Son of Encouragement. They had actually nicknamed him a person that was a comforter. See, few men had a testimony as great as Barnabas did. In fact, his testimony was so strong that those around him decided to change his name so that it would reflect his personality. His very identity was changed because of his attitude. Barnabas was a man who was happily and willingly giving to God, serving other Christians, sought aid to those who had fallen away, and from their former dedication, from even those that had left their former dedication to the faith of Christ. He was a great encouragement. Now, if someone would take your personality traits and they would nickname you something, what would it be? Now, I'm not talking about a physical attribute. Say, oh, there's Shorty, or there's Tall, or you know, whatever it is. I'm talking about your personality. What would you be nicknamed? And to me, that's a little bit of a humbling question. Would you be a person who was encouraging? Would you be a person that's grumpy? Would you be a person who is loving? A person that is maybe something different. Now, Jesus Christ was one of the greatest encouragers, if not the greatest encourager of all the Bible. You see, one of the greatest tools in the devil's arsenal is discouragement. He wants people to let down their shield of faith. He wants people to be discouraged. He wants people to feel disqualified. He wants people to be overwhelmed. You think about Moses. He was discouraged. He hit the rock, and it caused him to lose out on being able to see the promised land. You think about Mrs. Job, how she became discouraged and became bitter. You think about Naomi. She changed her name to Mara because of her bitterness. So how do you avoid disappointment? How do you avoid sin? How do you avoid being discouraged? You can ask Eve, you can ask Cain, you can ask Saul, you can ask Samson, Lot, the prodigal sons. They made major decisions without the right type of counsel. They were around people many times that they should not have been around. As you look back and you feel at times when you're discouraged, you should bathe yourself into the Word of God. But you also should spend time with people that you know that are encouragers. Not everybody's going to be that encourager, but it's who you hang around with will determine lots of times what your attitude is going to be like. If you have a person that is bitter, and you have a person that is angry, you have a person that is upset with God and upset with the world, yes, we should try to reach them. But we should not let them dictate who we are and let that change us. If you know someone who is maybe opinionated, or a person who is self-centered, a person who tries to drag people down and tear people down, they need help. They need prayer. They need encouragement from other believers. But that's not the person we're going to turn to be a blessing and to learn from. Jesus never discouraged anyone. If there was any life or any hope in any situation, Jesus capitalized on it. When Peter was sinking, he said, little faith. Look, there was a little bit of faith. When Stephen was being stoned, he stands up to greet him. When Paul was in his low point in his life, Jesus came and stood by him in the jail. When the backslidden Peter was wondering if God would ever use him again, what did they do? Jesus went to him and encouraged him. During the storm, he told his disciples to fear not. When the woman was caught in adultery, he encouraged her to go and sin no more. You think about it, we have a God that wants to encourage us to do right, encourage us to continue on, encourage us to keep on going. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is no searching of his understanding? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and be not weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God wants to encourage you tonight. So what do you take from tonight's message? Well, I hope that you learn that we should be encouragers. I'm not talking about fake praise. I am not talking about heaping compliments on top of people. No. I'm talking about saying words that will encourage someone to keep on going, being a fellow helper of the truth. Mark Twain once said, I can live 2 months off a good compliment. And the truth of the matter is, if you encourage someone and you appreciate someone and demonstrate to them love, trying to reach out to others and trying to disciple others and trying to help meet other people's needs, know what you're going to be is an encourager. Unfortunately, in many churches, there's not many encouragers. There's not many people who smile and say, thank you for being here. And unfortunately, there's people who say things that are not necessary for them to say. They step over lines and they say things that really does not need to be said by them. And it pushes people away. That's not what we're looking to do. We're trying to encourage one another. We're trying to help one another. Fellow helpers to the truth. And I think about this guy, Barnabas, and we could spend a lot longer talking about him. But tonight, I'm wondering, what would they nickname you? And I know that sometimes that's unfair because we're not living for men. I get that. We're living for God. But those that are around, would they say that you're an encourager or a person that discourages? Are you a person that tries to be a peacemaker or a person that tries to pull people apart? And it's amazing that some people will actually, I don't know why, they'll go around and they will try to cause dissension and try to cause problems and try to cause heartaches in people's lives, where God causes us to want to join together and work together and be a fellow helper to the truth. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. How to be an encourager. I pray that God speaks to your heart tonight about being